Okay. All remaining in order. We've got said, I guess, at 9:30, is that right?
Correct.
Bob's probably on his way.
He was finishing some copies with Mr. Hooker. I believe they got all the easements signed from Cross Creek, and they're getting the copies all done and all that. So I know Donna had something. I think Donna had something posted, but it was posted improperly because it. So in talking to Donna, we're going to repost it for tomorrow at 11:15. The TCED or Branson Lakes Area Economic Development, their budget has to be approved by us, and we didn't post it. That's part of the state statute. I called Bob when I asked him about it, and he read off a bunch of statutes, and he believes that a vote is required by us because it's our board and it's spending money. So he and his interpretation, he didn't remember what we did last year.
We didn't, because
I don't remember saying
I didn't read in there that we had to.
Well,
it's not our board in the sense that.
Well, I mean, Bob pulled the statute up, and he thought we needed to vote. I don't know if it's we did it wrong last year or. I know.
He even asked me about it, and I said, well, you want to know what their revenue is? I can't tell you because their district is different from anything that I get information about. He said, well, how would you know? I said, if I were a commissioner, I sure would sign on a letter like that, but it was right unless I saw some previous year actions. So I think we need to ask them.
Well, both of you better come up to the mic because this could be an interesting issue.
So can we talk about it?
Oh, we can talk about it.
But yeah.
Let's post it at 9:30. This says budget versus TCED budget. So
my understanding is that before I came on, the county commission voted to allow that district, that entity, to be put together. Remember, John Logan had a cartoon, and Don Swan voted against it, the other two voted for it. And then, after it was approved, the only responsibility that I understood was Taney County, Stone County, and the cities and the different ones are responsible to appoint a representative, and we have one representative that we appoint, and that's all we have to do it. Now, of course, Bob's the attorney. He knows what we need to do, I'm sure. But I'm like Donna. I don't think we've ever, and like
well,
we said.
It would be kind of like a SID. I mean, if it's a district.
Why would we sign something that we don't know about?
If we allow a district, and again, I don't have the statutes in front of me, and here comes Bob. And so, you know, if the statutes say we have to vote on, we do.
Bob, the discussion is the TCED. Should we, do we need to vote on it? And
I don't know that we do. It's kind of vague, but it does say it has to be submitted to us, the budget.
Okay, so we don't need to vote on it?
I don't know.
Okay.
As I said, I got this a couple days ago and was asked to look at it.
Right.
I got a bunch of information regarding it.
Well, I mean, did Donna give you the information? Is that where it started, or did somebody else ask about it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I gave it to Bob to review in case there was something that we needed to do other than to me just to tell you that we'd received it, and then I file it in the vault.
So they sent you a copy of the budget?
Yes, which
there's a letter.
Sling in front of me.
There's a letter that says, pursuant to
that's where it started then.
Pursuant, Donna received, it's addressed to the Office of the County Clerk from Treasurer of the TCED, which is Chris Lucci, and it says, Dear Sir, Madam, pursuant to Chapter 67, Section 67.010.1 and 020.2, enclosed herewith for filing is a copy of the annual budget of the Branson Lakes Area Tourism Community Enhancement District for the calendar year and our new fiscal year beginning on January 1st, 2010 and ending on December 31st, 2010. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Sincerely, Chris Lucci, Treasurer. And the two statutes that he cites, Donna sent me the letter, the budget, and the two statutes that he cited. And the two statutes he cites are each political subdivision of this state as defined in Section 70.120, except those required to prepare an annual budget by Chapter 50 and 165.191 shall prepare an annual budget. The annual budget shall present a complete financial plan for the ensuing budget year and shall include at least the following information: a budget message describing the important features of the budget and major changes from the preceding year, estimated revenues to be received from all sources for the budget year with a comparative statement of actual or estimated revenues for the 2 years next preceding, itemized by year, fund, and source. Well, we didn't receive all of that information. I've requested it, and I've got as much as they have in subparagraph 2. Proposed expenditures for each department, office, commission, etc. Number 4, the amount required for the payment of interest, amortization, and redemption charges on the debt of the political subdivision, a general budget summary. In no event shall the total proposed expenditures from any fund exceed the estimated revenues to be received plus any unencumbered balance or less any deficit estimated for the beginning of the budget year, provided that nothing herein shall be construed as requiring any political subdivision to use any cash balance as current revenue or to change from a cash basis of financing expenditures. That's O&O. And then O2O talks about budget officer designation duties, submission of budget. O2O says, the budget shall be prepared under the direction of a budget officer. Except as otherwise provided by law, charter, or ordinance, the budget officer shall be designated by the governing body of the political subdivision. And I would assume the governing body of the political subdivision would be the that's what I would think. All officers and employees shall cooperate with and provide to the budget officer such information and such records as he shall require in developing the budget. The budget officer shall review all the expenditure requests and revenue estimates, after which he shall prepare the proposed budget as defined herein. After the budget officer has prepared the proposed budget, he shall submit it, along with the supporting schedules, exhibits, and other explanatory material as may be necessary for the proper understanding of the financial needs and position of the political subdivision to the governing body. He shall submit at the same time complete drafts of such orders, motions, resolutions, or ordinances as may be required to authorize the proposed expenditures and produce the revenues necessary to balance the proposed budget. I don't know if they're referring to the governing body as the Taney County Enhancement District Board, or if we're being considered the governing body as the governing body that formed the Taney County Enhancement District. So it's very vague, and it's very, very confusing. But what I've done, I went over the budget. The budget balances, they have a they've estimated that they're going to be getting $6.9 million in, with the TIF taking $975,000 for a total revenue of a little over $5.9 million. And they talk about the cost of sales for advertising and publications and interest expense. And they go down the general administrative, which is supposed to be, I think, 2% or less of their actual budget, and comes out to total expenses of just over $5.7 million, where their total revenues are 5.9, but then they have an area of other income and expenses, and they show interest of 145,000, government grants of 860,000 that they anticipate, and income from publications on their website of 600,000. The only real question is this other expense of 1.8 million. That's kind of a large amount of money to be in a category called other expense. But I mean, I'm just going off this one form. They may have other forms. I've asked for their budget and their audits from the past couple of years, and they provided as much as they had. They went on not a calendar basis. They went from October through September of 09, and they wanted to get on the calendar basis. So they did a short year of 3 months, October, November, and December of 09, and they're starting this new calendar year with January of 10. And
that's what the city of Branson's doing, right?
I guess that's what the city of Branson's doing. So I've got some of the information if you want to look at it from their audit.
Well, can I ask that we request Bob to give us a written direction of whether we need to take any action on this or whether we don't?
I feel I at least need to present it to you, because it says to give it to the governing body, which you're the governing body.
Well, Bob's saying that may not be us. That may be the...
I don't know if we're the governing body or if the Taney County Enhancement District Board is the governing body. And I need to do a little bit of research. And I just, you know, in with all the other stuff going on in the last 2 days, I've done as much as I can on this.
But so you
Bob, I believe that if they were to consider these guys as a governing body, I would be the budget officer. And I have not had any issue with that budget.
You look at the sewer district, are they not the governing body?
The sewer district would be the governing body for this.
The TDD, isn't that the governing body in that case? Here's another district.
Well, if we want to assign this to Bob, that's fine. Because if we're approving a budget that you're supposed to have looked at, then
that's not good.
Then you need to look at it. So I would say let's. That's fine. We'll just.
And they said they were having an audit done for the last year. I guess that's the last 3 months, but it hadn't been completed yet, so they couldn't get that to us. But they did have the one from October of 08, or I don't remember. But they sent me what they had.
To save Bob extra work, maybe you just contact the chairman or the secretary over at the district, and maybe they've got the information laying right there that answers our question.
Well, their treasurer, Chris Lucci, sent it to us.
Well,
you've already kind of done that.
Is it possible that we could just have Rick? I mean, if we need to contact the TCED, we could have Rick call him. I mean, I know what Bob's workload is, and it's been...
I know that I feel the same way. You get what you need to do. I don't know.
But, I mean, once again, it really comes down to a statute's interpretation, I believe, which is him.
What would make us any more of a governing body than Stone County?
That would be my question. Since the part in Stone County, how could you say you guys are?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
Because the district is Stone County and Taney County. Yeah. Yep.
So, I
think it's great that they sent it to us. I think it provides some open form, but I don't believe you guys have any responsibility to approve it all. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, we've got them for years back.
Well, basically, we need to look to see if the Taney County Enhancement District says that they're the governing body, or if they define the governing body as the county or the entity that the governing body that formed them. And if they are a separate governing body, then we don't have to worry about it.
But I'm fine with assigning this to Bob to do some research.
And you said Taney County Enhancement.
That's what it's called. Taney County Enhancement.
But it also includes...
No, it's Tourism Community.
That's right. It's not TCE.
Enhancement
Lakes,
District.
Branson Lakes Area Tourism Community.
Yeah, I know, but I heard him say Taney County.
Right.
Well, actually, it's a Tourism Community Enhancement District, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Yes. But it's Stone and Taney County.
Well, no. It's not Taney County.
We said that.
The district is not all of Taney County. The district is a specific area within Taney County and over into Stone County.
Right.
But there was a governing body that formed them.
Exactly.
And I think we were the governing body, if I remember correctly,
yep.
That actually formed them. And that's why there's this question as to what the governing body is.
Makes me think of the TDD. I mean, we were... responsible for them being formed, but then
they're their own district.
They're their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a special district, but again, what? I haven't had a whole lot of opportunity.
I'm fine with it. I don't know if I need it in writing.
I'd get it from writing so we can hang our hat on it if we need to someday.
So you want it in writing, okay?
Okay.
I mean, doesn't have to be law or anything.
Bob, you need me to do anything other than the law part,
I'm going to vote on it until we have a public hearing on it. There's lots of controversy out here about this issue.
Well, I don't even know that we have to vote
on it. Well, it depends on our responsibility. If we're just supposed to be presented with it, they present it.
Yeah,
we just did that, we're done.
Yeah.
Because you presented the numbers.
So you're going to put down, Jim, that the commission was presented with a budget for this?
Yeah.
And that they instructed Bob.
Yep. Responsibilities.
You were presented with the TCED budget, didn't know what your actions, what actions are necessary, and asked me to look into it, and it can be posted if need be later.
I'm sending that to you and Jillian, so it's a reminder of what you just did.
Bob, you got the letter.
Yeah,
I'm going to.
It goes in there. Chris just asked if he's presenting it herewith or filing. He's not asking him to make any motion.
No.
Sounds like he feels like
it's just to clarify, when you were reading the budget, did I understand you say they received 6.8 $9 million, and then
that's what their estimate is for what they're going to get in sales tax during the calendar year.
And then they lose nearly $1 million to the TIF. Is that right?
I think I said $975,000 approximately.
Really?
$975,758 out of the $6.9 million they estimate that they're going to lose, and that would give a total revenue from the sales tax after TIF of $5,924,242. But these are estimates, of course.
Isn't that a 1% tax?
Yep.
It's a 1% tax.
Well, then I don't understand it.
Well, you want to know, we can make it up.
Well,
it's not the county.
I don't understand that it's just taking in $6.9 million.
Well, it's not the entire county.
It's not the same territory as our tax.
Right. Exactly right. That's the reason that it should be double that. If it's taken in the Silver Dollar City, the Kimberling City, even the Reed Spring area is in it.
Wouldn't that be close to $600 million in sales?
I don't know.
Well, if it's
6.8. 6.9.
So that's $690 million in sales. And if the district doesn't encompass, I mean, the county's revenues are only 900, are just 900 million when the whole county is.
I don't think it includes Hollister and Lowe's and all that. I mean, it's a different.
The numbers are close.
Right, and isn't it?
Yeah, they're reasonable. But I don't know how, it does include Silver Dollar City, which I would assume would be a lot of sales. And several other things over that area that we don't have in Taney County, and that's what Danny and I are thinking.
Reed may not be in it, but Kimberling and what's the road down past Silver Dollar City and down in Rock
Poverty Point,
Indian
Rock Lane Indian Resort,
Point, all that area.
Wasn't there?
I can't tell you. I only know what was submitted.
I need to confess something. I asked that question because the TIF is a rip to me.
Uh-huh.
That's why I asked the question.
Well, I understand why you asked the question. Yeah.
And the voters, there was an issue. The voters, when they voted on that tax, were told the board people that were promoting it didn't know that the TIF was going to take the money.
Well, I think a lot of people said it would, though.
No, I don't think so. I think it was like our jail tax. Well, maybe you.
I've always said that it would come out, that there's nothing saying that you're exempt.
But the point is most people, when they voted on it, never dreamed that the TIF would capture it, I don't think. Just like our jail tax. And it was a rotten deal. But there's nothing like we can. I don't see any way of fixing it, but I think it needs to be recognized. That was my whole point for asking the question.
And Danny's questioning the 6.9, and I can't tell you if that's accurate or not, but that's what they've presented as the estimated revenue from the sales tax.
And you would have to before we would ever improve it, approve anything.
If we have to approve, yeah.
Yeah, or even question or even represent it to us $1.8 million worth of other expense. Now, that's just ridiculous to write an item down as other expense, $1.8 million.
I might argue with you there because they would probably want to be able to budget everything they have, and that's probably their blackout capital improvement line. I mean, we don't expect to spend capital improvements this year. They probably don't expect to spend total other this year. We'd guess that.
We've got direction for Bob, and we hammered this hard enough. So I'll go on to
Jay.
That'll be your carryover.
That's going to be the carryover for next year. There's going to be some carryover, all right, but I don't know that it'll be those numbers.
And for the years ended 08 and 07, they provide an independent auditor's audit report. So, they've provided everything they've got, as far as I can tell.
Okay, we're ready to move to Sid?
Mm-hmm.
Bob, you got info on that?
Yes, there's an ordinance. It's very short, simple, and sweet, and should be in front of you. You can read it or whatever. It's just for signature if you want to.
We don't have the ordinance.
Did
the girls get it, or did you?
You got it from Jillian, and Jillian had a copy of it. I thought you were going to bring it in here.
I got it.
Then Jillian, we can get Jillian to bring it down. I asked her to keep a copy and give a copy. She was going to give a copy to Donna's office.
You're going to call
her? I'm looking for my phone. I don't know that I brought it down with me.
She probably already heard it.
She's working on the energy grant paperwork, so she may not have.
You want me to run up to
him? No, I'm calling right now.
Okay. Chuck, did you burn your fingers?
No, I have a terrible time with them. Splitting. Just drying up and splitting.
I'm having the same problem.
Do you use that skin stuff?
Here she comes. I hear footsteps.
It's in the bottle.
I use Neutrogena. And, yeah, Danny was telling me that last year.
Chuck has this stuff that's called New Skin.
That's it.
And you paint it
right
on
there.
Your finger and it heals. It covers it up. It burns.
Keep on.
But then it covers it up and makes it heal. It's called New Skin.
I've got
one.
Because he
works with boxes all the time. Dries his hands up.
I guess I'll just read it. It's right there for you. You need to vote on it. It was the hearing the other day that you had. This is an ordinance. You asked if you should vote to approve, and I said you needed to vote to approve the ordinance. And this says an ordinance adding property to and removing property from the Branson Creek Community Improvement District in Taney County, Missouri. Whereas Taney County, Missouri, the county has received a request to remove property dated October 26th of 2009 from the boundaries of the Branson Creek Community Improvement District, and the district has, by resolution of the District Board of Directors, consented to the removal request. And whereas the county has received a petition dated October 2009 requesting the addition of property to the boundaries of the district, and the district has, by resolution of the District Board of Directors, consented to the addition petition. And whereas all mailed and publication notices of the required public hearing for each request have been provided in accordance with the CID Act, and whereas on January 11th, 2010, the County Commission of Taney County held a public hearing on the removal request and addition request in accordance with the CID Act, now therefore be it ordained by the County Commission of Taney County, Missouri as follows. Section 1, a public hearing was duly held after proper notice, all in accordance with the CID Act. Section 2, the property to be removed from the district as described in the removal request is hereby removed from the district. Section 3, the property to be added to the district as described in the addition petition is hereby added to the district. And Section 4, this ordinance shall be in full force and effect from and after its passage by the County Commission, passed by the County Commission this blank day of January 2010. And
did you write this, Bob?
I did not. It came from Gary Anderson and Rick McConnell at Gilmore and Bell. It's short, sweet, and to the point. Do you have a copy of the addition petition?
What was that we looked at during the hearing Monday?
Okay.
Was that not a copy?
Have they filed the addition petition with you? They sent me a copy of it.
I haven't gotten anything else.
Okay. We might want to, and I apologize for having this on the agenda, we might want to table this until they filed the addition petition. As I'm reading this, it says the property to be added to the district is described in the addition petition is hereby added to the district.
They had maps and everything of the additional.
I understand. But in the addition petition, and I do have a copy of it, by the way, but they said they planned on filing it here within the next couple of days. And
I thought he said he couldn't file that until after this was in place.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what he said in the hearing, is that what his plan was to file that addition petition after the ordinance was approved.
What I would tell you is I looked at the addition petition, and the things that we were concerned about, the things that I specifically mentioned, were in the added petition. They are going to limit the property that can be owned by the CID, which would keep the CID as a political subdivision from owning property that would therefore be tax exempt. There was one or two other things that they added in that I requested during our meeting two meetings ago.
Should we not ask Bob to put all that work together and give it a one more review before we... I mean, we looked at, I had the packet that we were all handed, and it showed the maps and stuff. But
I believe you've been working with Branson CID since the very beginning, so I think the packet, I mean, that's where the questions came from, was because of the research on that packet. So having a review, only thing I would, you know, if we're...
Where is that packet? Who has that packet?
Okay. I think we're talking about two different things, the petition to add property to the Branson Creek Community Improvement District and the petition that they're filing. But
I had it.
Do we need to table this, Bob? Yeah,
I would table it until tomorrow.
Then we'll repost it.
Desk. I had it headed down this way, and I don't know where it's at, but I mean, it's not.
I'll send a note up to you guys to repost.
Second on the motion to table the SID ordinance.
Oh, we'll just repost it, Chuck. We don't need to table it. We'll just repost it at 11. We're booked until 11:15, so we'll just post 11:15. If that's fine with everyone.
11:15 today.
11:15 tomorrow. Unless you want to, can you get to it today?
I can get to it today.
We're only meeting for another hour, and then
can we postpone it till 11 o'clock?
Sure. I move that we table this SID till 11 o'clock today.
Second.
Today.
Aye.
11 o'clock today.
Yes, sir.
I need.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
I've got some just administrative stuff.
Okay.
Anything else? Anybody else got administrative? Or?
No. Oh, I have some administrative, but go ahead. So we're done with that. Chuck seconded, and we all aye. I thought we did.
Yep. James, can we help you with?
No, I just heard the word SID and came this way.
We're tabled it till 11 o'clock. Since you're here, I'd like to ask again for that. You were going to get us a list, get me a list of the reasons on the Kanakuk issue. You said there are many reasons or many questions, I think you said. If you haven't got that, I'd maybe like to have that by. We got BOE tomorrow, right?
I don't know.
I saw BOE tomorrow, scheduled at 9 or something.
BOE scheduled for 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay. If you could just get us the questions you had, you mentioned. I think a week ago Monday, there were many questions that needed to be answered.
Did I put a newspaper article in your box?
Yeah. Okay.
But that didn't
answer a lot of it. I got one and read it, so.
But that was just a newspaper article. You'd stated very strongly that there are many questions that need to be answered. I think we should address those. But we need to know what they are.
I won't be here tomorrow, but I'll see what if I can grab it. I've got Jim Kyle today and all that.
So. Okay. Okay. My administrative is FYI, I've received a phone call from our nuisance case on Cannonball Loop, Jeff Kenyon. We had voted, we sent a letter out. I received a phone call, and I've reported this to you once, it's repetitive, but. A neighbor across the street from that lot has bought the property and has started taking the house down. Jeff shared that he and the neighbor used to be best buddies, but they're not anymore. He's concerned that he's got a permit to build a garage, a pole barn garage. And I don't think he's happy about that. The main thing that affects us, I think, is he's not pleased with how quick the house is coming down, and got an email from him again yesterday, and again, just want you to know what's happening.
Is any of these duties, I guess, responsibilities planning and zonings?
No,
okay.
I don't think so. They permitted the garage, but that's as far.
Okay.
The responsibilities that we have is, when I presented it to you last time, the neighbor's supposed to be taking it down. Do we want to send him another letter? Do we want to contact him that we're not happy that he's working fast enough?
How long has this been going on?
I asked Nikki for the letter, and she's looking for it.
I guess from the start of the teardown how long has that started? Do you know the answers?
No,
because we have had some cold weather the last 2 weeks.
The sale of the property didn't take place till. Was brought up, 2 months ago or 3 months ago? If a guy just bought the property and it's 2 or 3 months of this kind of weather, I wouldn't be out there tearing something down myself.
But if you wanted to send a courtesy letter and just ask them to please complete demolition, do we have that authority?
I mean, I would think you'd have to give a reasonable time to do the demolition. Police. I don't think that would fit within a nuisance ordinance if you're doing demolition and you're doing it within a reasonable time. I don't know what time's been taken or how you define a reasonable time, but obviously it'd be nice for him to know that he's getting complaints about it, and it might be a good idea to complete the demolition in a reasonable time. If that makes sense.
Yeah, if he's tearing it down himself, you know, it might be that the man hadn't had time to do it, and the weather being like it is, I don't know.
Would you suggest that we give him a little more time?
Well, sure, I would.
I agree.
Just sold within two or three months, and
I'll pass that on to Jeff.
Okay.
Be aggravated myself if I had somebody send me a letter wanting me to tear something down after I'd best bought the property.
Wayne Dietrich from Extension brought to my attention that they're having a lot of repairs on their copier. Reminded me that a year ago for the 08, they put money in the budget or wanted to put money in the budget, and we told them we had that line that you could take it out of. Well, they got through all of 09, but the guy's coming today to look at it again. He's supposed to get back to us on what the verdict is and whether he's requesting. The other thing, and then we can do our IDA, is Frank sent out an email about boots. I guess y'all got that or saw that.
I responded. My opinion is I'd rather not touch that. I think it's
leave it in
the policy as it sits. But I did suggest and look at the glove policy because I think too many gloves are going out the door. So I just said, I'm fine with the boot policy, but I'd like to look into the glove policy.
Right.
See if there's any abuse there. That was my suggestion. So.
Okay. You're all right with keeping the boots?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay.
I'm not all right with everybody. I think there was $88,000. I think there's 80 employees and $80,000
on the boots. Yeah.
I don't see that there's a safety issue with the people sitting in the office over there with a pair of $100 boots on. Doesn't make common sense to me. It's not a safety issue that they're going to have something fall off the desk and hit their toe.
Well, if you want to, we could you could bring it up to Frank. I mean, he'll be before us probably the next 7 days with an update for Road and Bridge.
Yeah. I think, you know, we can figure out who's responsible for what. The boot policy in itself was brought on by the boys that work on the ship and seal crew.
Right.
They were working that hot asphalt, and it was burning the soles off of their boots that they were buying, so we decided we'd buy. Now, this took place before I got here, but this is what was explained to me. Right. They'd buy the boots for them because they were, after a year's worth of chip and seal, the boots aren't fit to even wear into.
Well, I guess what we say is if you want to bring it up next time Frank's in here, let's talk about refining. Yeah. I don't want to pay for some boots that we're helping them. Dress versus safety. My only concern is safety.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I do have. Is that all the administration I have?
Yeah.
I have some administrative also. Frank also sent an email yesterday, an attachment letter to send to a certain employee. We gave him some direction. He has written that letter. I've sent my response back. I don't know if you guys have sent your response back. If you want that letter. Bob, I think, has reviewed the letter.
I reviewed it, and I'm fine with it.
So if you guys want to just look at it and give Frank your nod so he can do something with that. The next thing on the list is originally when the Wellness Center was discussed, we had talked about a future of buying a TV or ascertaining a TV for the exercise, the aerobics room. We have since found a TV that has not been used in 12 months. I've talked to the department head who has it under his control, and he would be more than happy to relocated in there, and if he ever needed to get it, he would just go get it, but basically he doesn't need it. It's the flat panel that was in the IT training center. It's on the wall because that's where it's stored, basically. He has a projector that's tied to a computer and does all the training off of the projector, and literally the TV is strictly a backup, and it was the reason we got that was through the county clerk 2 years prior to that. So Gary was fine. I talked to Gary personally. He was fine with relocating it. That way it's basically at least gets used, and it's GCR money, so it's just shifting an asset but not he doesn't lose control of it. And he once again said he was fine. It's, in case of emergency, he can go get it. And I didn't see any reason why not, because it just hasn't been used. So are you guys fine with that?
I'm fine with that. I got one question, though. Uh-huh. What about antenna reception?
The wellness, that advisory committee is working on some. They asked me how much money can they spend without. I said none. So they are getting a list of things they need to finish. I can tell you that some people have said we want to donate money to this fund. I told them my opinion, I'd rather them donate the item, and that way we don't have to worry about cash receipts and all that. So I know that one individual has donated $80+ in just shower curtains and some towels and some rugs and some towel bars. And so people, if they want to donate, it looked like the item is better than needing cash, because then all of a sudden we have an accounting revenue situation. So
that sounds good.
They're coming forward with any of those requests. I know she's researching. She's got a Dish Network price, because we have a Dish Network contract with the sheriff's office for the jail. She's going to come forward with a price on that. The committee is working on that. They've met multiple times because they've asked me a few questions. I had a transitional meeting with them 2 weeks ago or so, which basically said the advisory committee was formed. You guys get it to open because it's not a political thing. It's a wellness center. So they're working on when can they open, when can they do a health risk assessment with Mercy. They're working with Dixie. I think an email was sent to Acres and Arnie not too long ago about trying to get a coordination of a grand opening and actually open the facility. But they're actually working on getting a list of stuff to come to present to us of what they need or what we have to do to finish this to get it open. So they're supposed to be working on that and coming before us soon.
Okay.
That's all I know.
If I heard what you said, there's a possibility that the county is going to pay for Dish Network. Is
no.
that right?
No, that's I didn't not say right. that. I said that they're going to come forward with a request.
Okay.
And then we, as a commission, will decide what's best for that. Cool. I know that there's people who've said that they would pay for cable. There's right. people who said they'd pay for the entire service.
What the? If it's in the, if it's in the workout room, I thought it would be tapes and things like that.
The workout room is the workout room. From my understanding, is going to be tapes, DVDs.
Right, and
there's no other TVs down there right now. But they're also
so
the
they want
picture.
Another. They want another TV for just the, people to watch while they're working out.
Well, while they're on the treadmill and the bicycles and all that.
Okay.
I think that's their big plan. But
so, do we have a date?
They haven't set a date that I'm aware of.
Okay.
All I kept on, I called Nikki and said, do you have a date yet of when you're going to open? She says she's still waiting for some information. And as soon as they have all the information, they're going to come before the commission and give us an update.
They've been working on some forms. I've reviewed one form so far.
I mean,
do they have, I haven't been down there. Are the mirrors and all that stuff up? And
there, I think Charlie's crew is working on hanging the mirrors. Linda got a price to hang the mirrors. She called me and said, what do you think? I said, I'm not going to pay $700 to hang mirrors when our crew can do it. So, and there was some tile that wasn't quite complete down there. So Linda went to Frank and said, if Charlie's crew is available, can he come do that? And of course, I said, it doesn't cost any money. And Charlie's crew's not doing anything. I don't see a problem with it. I haven't been down there in a week or two. But actually, at least a week. So I'm not sure if the mirrors are hung yet or not.
Well, I've got your emails on.
Yeah, but
my concerning people.
I'm curious. Uh-huh. I can visit with them one with the group, or are you all curious? Do you want to ask for a meeting later this week? Find out where they're at, what they're doing.
Well, I think that's what their plan is. They're going to get all the information. I was just letting you guys. They're going to have information. If there's going to be a wellness committee meeting that they're scheduling once they have all the information. To have another meeting before they're ready, it would be a...
That's what I'm trying to say. You know when that's going to happen? Are they going to have it ready
this week? As soon as they have all the answers.
Okay, so we don't have a date or anything?
We don't have a date.
Okay. Next.
There was a email... There was a, how do I say this, an invoice came to the commission for storage at the underground. Nikki submitted the invoice to Don or to the auditor's office. It was returned back to the commission because it is my understanding that each department is supposed to pay for their share of what's being stored at the underground. Okay?
When we started the project, the understanding was, Danny can correct or agree, is that during the process of building the jail until we got a place for them to store stuff, that would come out of the commission budget,
okay,
and not the individual offices, clerk, collector, recorder, whoever it might be.
Okay.
But after all that was done and we provided space, then those storage fees at the underground would come out of each office.
Okay, well that,
that's been a long time ago, but is that
the way
you
I
remember?
Understand it? And after the completion of the judicial facility and the space underneath there,
that's how Nikki
that
and
is, I thought it was the office holder's responsibility.
Well, Nikki and Rick also understood it that way, and so okay, they went and submitted these individual bills or individual. Nikki went to each department head, and there is some concern by multiple people saying we didn't budget that, and
right,
we don't have budget money for that. So we need, as a commission, to decide what we're going to do with that.
Well, the one question is, do they have, is there room in our storage for them to store stuff so they don't have to store it over there?
No.
Okay, that would be a debatable item.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of, all this space is taken up. Okay. And that, I would say it's debatable if there's room or not room based off of each elected official or department.
Okay, you know? Chain length off? Is that what it is? And
do you have a chain? You have a chain per cell or per wing, depending on what the request has been, and then you have your own personal lock. I think is how it's working. That's what I see. But it appears. I guess the question is, one could debate. Your storage needs would always grow every year forever, and so I think the question is, we probably need to have a discussion about this month's bill that needs to be paid, who's paying it, and then ongoing. So,
okay. I've got some more administrative.
Okay.
And we got Ron and Joan.
What would you like me to do? What would you like me to do with this invoice that I just talked to you about? What do you want us to do? Schedule a meeting.
Well, if Don is right that we don't have space, I'd say go ahead and pay this one and then work on it and see if we can't find
it. Well, it's not just Donna. I mean, there's circuit clerk, there's commission, there's like seven departments. So we pay, I mean, I guess my question, do we pay just Donna? Do we pay just circuit clerks?
Well, I thought Brenda talked to us and she was going to move all her stuff in that area in the basement.
Don't they have room at the new courthouse for circuit clerks?
You're asking questions I don't have answers to. I have an invoice that we just need to figure out what we're going to do with.
Okay.
What's the action? What do you want me to do next?
Push it to the back burn.
That's the problem.
I think as soon as we get through here, let's just...
I can post something and invite those elected officials over.
I think we just need to put our little jackets on and walk down there and visualize it ourselves and see what's available.
Okay.
And,
so we got the clerk.
I'll reply to Nikki and Rick and actually schedule something to talk about.
Okay.
If I could, as soon as I heard about the issue, I contacted Renee and asked if there was any more room in the jail, and she said there is some more room, but it can't be used currently because there's leaks. I can't put secure documents into an area that's leaking, and there's also a concern right now that there's not a lot of heat in there. And if we get mold buildup on those old historical documents, that's not a good thing. So those are some things to consider.
Is this the old jail here you're talking about, Donna?
Yes.
Yes,
sir. Where we made storage. Okay, Jim's getting this lined out to get it on the work.
Yep.
Well, let's, as soon as we get through here, let's
go look.
Yep. Let's go look at those and see what we need to do and see if we can't figure out something.
Okay. All right. I think I'm responsible for this update, and I think I said something. I didn't want to waste any time
Joan doesn't have to have her very good laid out thing, but I'd just like to know how things are going in brief, what you're working on. I know some things, but I think there's a lot you're doing I probably don't know about. That's why I've asked it. So, as you know, we're very informal generally. Tell us what you're doing.
Do you want us to sit here?
Yeah, come up to the mic, please. Come to the table so everybody can hear you. I did see your announcement of Rockaway is next Thursday. You got a press release lined out.
Yes, press conference.
Mm-hmm.
I've invited all the media. And I've talked to Sue Bacorn, the grant writer for that project, and ask her if the engineer can be there to say a few words. And then the gentleman from DNR, we're anticipating he will be there also. And I asked Sue to give a brief synopsis of the project, and then ask Mayor Klein to speak very briefly about the project also.
And there's a pre-construction meeting right after that.
That is, well, yes, it'll be, I guess, more than a right after, because I think it's scheduled for 1:30.
Okay.
And our press conference is noon.
And I didn't recognize the name Sue. Is she like a Barbara Boley?
She is like a Barbara Boley. Okay. In fact, when I was Director of Economic Development here a couple of years ago, had the pleasure of recommending her to the village of Kirbyville as a grant writer. We interviewed a number of grant writers, and she's very outstanding.
Okay.
But she's not on our payroll, correct? She's been hired by the city of Barbara.
That's correct.
She's working for the city.
That's
I'm
correct.
Glad you told me that. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Whatever else you got?
Yes. The IDA has asked that each month I report on the projects that have been assigned to me. And they divided projects, gave Ron some projects, gave me some projects. I've been working on some additional projects that Jim has been bringing to the forefront. That process usually involves, number one, I visit with a grant writer and find out what the potential sources for funding are. Secondly, then I attempt to put a team together. That team, in the case of the energy grant, involved two grant writers, a consulting engineer, Jillian Roulon, Linda Gifford. It's a complex grant. The team also includes, oftentimes, principals at the local level, as in the case you're aware, Chuck, because we've been working together on the dredging project in Rockaway. Those principals are key to that project. And we look at action points, what needs to be accomplished. We don't need to have meetings for the sake of meetings. We need to have meetings that have action points, and at the next meeting we address what has been accomplished. And often those local people at the base level are very important to pushing that project forward, even before we get to the point of writing a grant. So that's basically what my job is. And then once we write the grant and apply, my job is also to talk with people on the state level and to form good relationships, just as Ron has good relationships, but to form good relationships with those people at the state level. With that said, one of the projects I've worked on, as you well know, I had the pleasure in August of presenting to the commission regarding the CDBG Disaster Supplemental Funding Grant. And the commission, I think, wisely selected five projects. Really enjoyed working with the commission on that because I thought it was a great effort in teamwork with not a really great timeline to work with. I have continued to talk to the DED people at the state level, and they have not made any awards yet. In fact, yesterday I spoke with them, and both Andy Papen and Liz Roberts were out. But in the afternoon, I got a call back, and I was told that Andy asked that I be contacted. The projects are still being considered, in process. It's just taking a long time, they say. And so I'm very hopeful that if and when these monies are awarded, I feel very optimistic that we will get an award, at least one of our projects, and hopefully more.
Good.
The biosolids project. This is a project Ron and I share together. In the spring, I believe Jim and Ron were in Jeff City promoting this very project, and I brought together the principals, a local team, Rick Ziegenfuss, Larry Van Gilder, Mike Zimmerman, and brought Barbara Boley into that, and we began talking about the possibility of a special earmark. That project has been going forward and going towards that end, and there will be a request for a special earmark submitted. The Rockaway Seawall and Dredging Project. Chuck, as you well know, that's a project that's near and dear to the hearts of the people in Rockaway and very key to that community having a place in Taney County where they can contribute to the economic development of the county. We have action points that we address in each meeting, and we're going forward also with seeking a special earmark and seeking the additional funding that will be needed through state agencies or from the governor. And our next meeting is coming up. I have to look at my calendar, but I believe it's this week or next week at the latest. The White River Emergency Communication Center, in a nutshell, Ron has taken the lead on this, and he'll tell more about that, so I won't go into it. But he's involved Congresswoman Emerson's office now, and we're very pleased about that. The courthouse energy audit. Wow. This is something that Jim brought to my attention last spring, and have been researching and working on that since then. And the deadline for receipt of our application is Friday. Tomorrow, Linda Giffert will deliver our application to Jeff City. This team has been Grant Writer Boley, Grant Writer Redford, Engineer Finkel, Jillian Rulon, Linda Giffert, and I've had the pleasure of leading these folks under Jim's direction. This has been an exciting project, but it has been one that has very much tested the grant writers and engineer. It is a complex puzzle, not of 100 pieces, but of 1,000 pieces. We are still making changes as this meeting is being held, but is being iced down and will be ready to deliver tomorrow to Jeff City. The wastewater was one potential project to apply for energy monies that did not come to fruition because we could not fit in the 10-year or less energy payback. But I've asked Barbara Boley to continue to look for alternate sources of funding for us for that project. The water distribution line, as you noted, Chuck, there is a press conference next Thursday at noon, and I believe this will provide hopefully some good press for Rockaway. And anytime we can get good press, we can also use that good press in applying for other grants for other Rockaway projects, like the dredging project. Any of this good press on other projects will help us. Those are the recovery zone allocation process. As you know, we've got $1.3 million, and there will be another reallocation process in March, and we will attempt to have projects ready for that. The IDA has asked me to be the point person on that, and so I will need to put together some additional projects, or those project folks will bring themselves to the attention of the IDA and ask for consideration.
A couple things I wanted to point out is that Joan referred to that I was giving projects to Joan. I think it's important because that's coming up to question recently. Is that as I come up with ideas, I come to Ron and Joan and say, have you looked at this, or is his department? I think a project that Joan referred to was the hiding place came to us. Is that what it was?
Well, I didn't refer to it here, I don't think, but yes, the hiding place.
The hiding place recently set a meeting with me to talk about additional funding because they're looking to expand. And so I put Joan and myself and this individual, and we all had a conversation regarding possible grant opportunities to help fund a new purchase of a structure. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the, when we talk about projects that Joan's working on, is basically I put, they came to visit with me, I put them two together to talk about or to research the possibilities of getting some shared money.
And the members of this commission all have different gifts. Many of them overlap, but appreciative, Jim, of your proactiveness in that arena. It's good for Taney County.
The process is any one of the commissioners obviously can come to either one of you guys and suggest.
Well, as I'm working with Chuck on the dredging project in Rockaway.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jim. As those things come up, I'd like to know. For instance, I'm interested in the hiding place. Mm-hmm. but it doesn't matter if I'm interested or not, if you all would make just a brief note that Jim, Danny, or even I assume it's all right for Branson to come visit with staff on their own, I mean, even without a direction. And I just kind of like to be caught up or kept up to speed of what project you're looking at and who's looking for your help. And
okay.
Then you need to be in this kind of meeting, just simple mail note or something.
Okay.
So that I'm not in the dark of what you're working on. Okay. Before I ask Ron, I think I shared this with the commission, but in case I didn't, I sat down with Ron. We had a good long conversation, explained that I would like to learn of his contacts and just educate myself from the people he's working with. And I think next week we're planning to go to Jeff City on, is that right, on Clean Water Commission, kind of touching base with that.
Clean Water Commission was last week. Next week the Department of Economic Development.
Okay.
And Department of Natural Resources.
Just put your name down is all I got. But anyway, I'm just interested in what's going on. I did visit with McIntosh the other day on the dredging project. And FYI, he mentioned that earmarks or special appropriations wanted us all to know that we needed to be on the ball, needed to get them in early. And I guess the communication is one of those that's already been worked on, so we're good to go there. And I asked him, well, what kind of projects are there out there that we might be looking at? And he thought and gave me a few things, nothing that I grabbed onto that we could go for. But again, his warning to us was, hey, if we got anything going, we need to get it in early this year, for whatever that's worth.
The deadline for the federal appropriations process is February 17th. So really, the very
too end, late for early.
Very end time is going to be upon us before we know it.
Yeah.
So the sooner we can react, obviously before that date, the better. And I agree with that. But we don't have much time. Is given there, that deadline.
Do you all have? Is anybody other than the communications? Is there and the dredging? We were thinking about that.
And the biosolids also.
And the biosolids. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. I'm glad you said that. He mentioned that there was going to be a change. And I think you'd sort of touched on this, Ron, in that commission fairly soon, and that might be good for the project, but that wouldn't be a this year thing. Is that right?
Well, part of what I do, obviously, is working with the different boards and the different commissions and the players, if you will, that are in Jefferson City. Two of the Clean Water Commission's appointments will expire April 10th, I believe. Or 12th of this year.
Right.
Now, what I don't know is whether or not the governor will be reappointing those individuals whose commission terms are expiring.
Right.
Hardecki, who was just elected the chairman last week and was the sitting chairman, was also has to be reappointed this year. So my thinking is either they knew something going in before they made that appointment, or he's only going to serve for a couple of months before somebody takes his place. Well, and I don't know the answer to that.
You're bringing more questions. So are we pushing, trying to do the biosolids, trying to get it on the table this time around? Or
right. Well, what's happened
February
prior to you all establishing us in the positions to do what we do, that particular project had been carried to Jefferson City for 2 years in a row.
Right.
Applications made for grants, et cetera. They were not received favorably from the
right.
Clean Water Commission. Part of what I have been doing is touching the bases, if you will, with the staff people that make recommendations to the Clean Water Commission members. One individual who was involved with us back in the early 80s when we did our first state revolving fund, and I have been talking. So I've known him for over 25 years. I meet with him periodically, once every 60 days maybe, to talk about all the projects that we have that are currently pending, what the status is, as far as the thinking between the Clean Water Commission members and staff regarding those projects, and how we're doing as an entity or entities from this neck of the woods. The problem is not just that we didn't meet formula criteria. The problem was that some commission members and boards in the past have felt that well-to-do communities, and many have felt that the city of Branson is a well-to-do community, have received enough in prior years. And so at least one of the theories was that was handed to us by some of the task force, that might have been one of the reasoning that we received negative reaction to these applications in the past. Sam Leek, who is a past state representative of the Democratic Party, is a friend of mine and has been for a couple of decades. He's also served on the Tax Commission, and he's now a member of that Clean Water Commission. I know other members of the Clean Water Commission. I've been chatting with them, and I think that the perception that they have with us, and I know the perception that the staff members that are that give them the information they need to make the decisions is much better than it was when we came on board.
Right.
And I mean, it's many times better than it was. So from that perspective, we've done a lot better. And whether or not we go for or attempt to get grants statewide or we go to a federal appropriation, that Clean Water Commission, Department of Natural Resources, is going to play a role.
Right.
Because regardless of who the legislator is nationally, they're going to ask questions of the Clean Water Commission. Is this a good project? What do you think about it?
Right.
Are you in favor of it or opposed to it? If they're opposed to it, we've shot ourselves in the foot federally as well as on
right.
the state level. So it's been real important that we reconnect with those people, and that's part of what I've been doing.
Right.
Now, that's not just the federal appropriation for the Class A biosolids. We're also looking at that for the White River Emergency Communication System, which is the county-wide mesh networking system that the police agencies, the fire agencies, 911, our sheriff's department, and others are involved in the county as we try to put new computers and equipment within the vehicles. We try to update to a system that's this century rather than the last, and we are pursuing federal funds there. Also, getting ready, and you had mentioned a minute ago that when something comes up, either from one of the other commissioners or if someone from one of the entities comes to us, to keep you apprised of what that is. What we've been doing is if any of those go past the first phase, because we continually have people coming to us with ideas, with a wish list, with opportunities that if they had the funding, they could do this, this, or this, all of which are needy. It's just not all fall within the criteria of the ARRA available funding. And once we've made that determination, once we've worked with our grants writers, and then once we've worked with either the state or the federal people, we have a handle on what the next step is. And at that time, for example, currently I'm working with the mayor of Forsyth, Dave Oliphant, with HDR Inc., with Tom Ryan, with Mike Zimmerman, about the possibility of pursuing federal funding for an appropriation for the widening of 160 through Forsyth all the way to potentially 65 Highway. So it would follow 160, hit F Highway, and go and perhaps connect with 465. HDR has done already a lot of the preliminary financial work regarding that project. I spoke with Tom Ryan the last 2 days and again last Thursday or Friday, and he's in the process of talking with the mayor. If, in fact, we reach that point where they're positive about that and where one of the federal agencies or congressional people are positive, and I've been talking with Joanne Emerson's people in D.C., and the director from the West Plains office. If all those parties are positive, then we will come to you as a county commission, apprise you of that, and ask if you will be the lead agency if the city of Forsyth is not going to do that, or to combine with the city of Forsyth in pursuing that particular project. So it's not that we've been lax, I don't think, in keeping you all apprised of what we're doing, just not bringing every project forward until it reaches a certain stage where we need your input, where we need your support, and where we need your direction to move forward. And there are a host of projects that we have that fit in that category. I know I got off a little bit from the report that you wanted, but...
Well, I'm glad you did, because I'm not coming because I feel like you all have been lax of telling us what's going, or telling me what's going on. And I think I understood everything you're saying. Personally, I don't know how Danny and Jim feel, but it's important to me to know, you gave the Forsyth example. Mayor had brought me plans and showed me what was going on, so I knew about that. But I just, it's a little embarrassing. To me, it's a little, feel like I'm not doing my job, or a little embarrassing if somebody comes to me and says, I've been talking to the IDA, they've been working on this, and I don't have a clue about it. I'd rather know and just a nugget that a certain person has asked us to look at this, whether it be Jim, Danny, David Oliphant, whoever it is. And I'm talking just, you know, a minute worth of time just to say, hey, this is what's going on. That's what I'm looking for.
That's an easy thing for us to do. Yeah. It's something we'll do.
And again, if it's just an email, and if I got questions, I can come ask you questions. I don't want to use your time, or we've all got too much to do, I think. And that's where I'm coming from.
I brought today a list of our projects, a sampling of information gleaned from tracking any potential allocations or news that Joan and I might find helpful, a page from the report that Joan and I give to the IDA board, if you would like me to go through that or no.
Just give me a copy and I'll review it.
I look at recovery.org. I look at grants.gov. I look at the NACO website. Those are three principal areas that I go to on a daily basis to give me some idea or information what's happening in a certain or given area. If the federal government is going to release funds to the states, and then in turn the states are going to release those funds through one of their departments, whether it be the Department of Economic Development, whether it be the Department of Natural Resources, whether it be any of the departments, the funding might be available. It gives us, as a department, a heads up to see. Because if you wait 2 or 3 weeks and you find out about it, everybody has already made applications.
Yeah.
This month, as a matter of fact, and next month, there are deadlines already for the justice grants that are available, whether it be the burn grants or other type of law enforcement grants for personnel, for equipment, etc. Deadlines fall on a monthly basis. So we do our best to stay attuned to that so that we, in turn, can notify those project managers of what has happened, what is available, because there are a number of them out there that don't have the staff to follow up. And while the cities do, and while maybe a fire district does, maybe some of the small villages don't, most of the other political subdivisions don't, and I dare say none of the nonprofit projects that we have the people out there that are tracking that information. So we try to keep them apprised of that information, up to date, so that we can be helpful to them, pursue their own projects, if you will, and keep us in the loop to find that funding. Now, one of the things, Chuck, you talked about Jefferson City, and Joan brought up the CDBG disaster supplemental projects that you all had pursued, you all had agreed to. There were 5 here from the county. There are 2 from the city of Forsyth. There were grants that were involved in the regular CDBG program that are being pursued by outside grants writers for different entities. Sue Bacorn for Rockaway Beach is a good example that pursued a $500,000 CDBG grant on behalf of the city of Rockaway Beach in the water quality area and has been successful. But each one of those projects, as well as the 5 that we submitted, Clevenger Cove, Boys Camp, Oak Creek Bridge, Developmental Connections, Bradleyville Fire Department, the Country Mart Road for the city of Forsyth, and the other project that they have. Each time I go to Jefferson City and sit down with the Department of Economic Development, I talk about those projects, either with Elizabeth Roberts, that Joan mentioned a while ago, or with some other member of that staff. And Elizabeth did return an email to me yesterday confirming what Joan had said. There's been no changes. I mean, we're both tracking those. They'll probably get tired of us. And when you add that together to 250 other entities that have projects that are waiting to see whether or not they've got funding. And I dare say they're probably getting calls every day. Why haven't those funds been released? And for those particular projects that the county approved, we were first informed probably before Thanksgiving. Then we were informed, oh, definitely before Christmas. And then we're not going to give you any more dates. So they are still in the process, I learned yesterday, of ferreting through some of those projects and their worthiness and whether or not they meet the tests of the ARRA. Now, any of our projects specifically that you would like to know about, we'll be delighted to chat with you about today, or any of the process that we follow. Whatever you all want from us.
I've got one that that I would like for you to get involved in, and had, I know you've got a full platter, both of you, but the Corps of Engineers has $390,000 that they've already been appropriated for the KDOC, filling of the KDOC project, and that money is just, the way I understand it from talking to Heiser and Mark Case and them, that it's just set, it's sitting there, it's been appropriated, they haven't got their hands on it, it's already been, everything's cleared and everything. My proposal to them is for them to let us do the work of a road and bridge. If this would have happened a little while ago, it could have changed some situations that we've had. But if they would let us do the projects ourselves with our road and bridge staff instead of contracting it out, and
all I believe to add to that is that you've given Frank Preston that task, so.
Right.
These guys may want to work with Frank because, you know, basically, those two gentlemen work with the Corps of Engineers. I don't know if he's mentioned that. I was trying to pay attention, but those Heiser and all those, they're the Corps of Engineers people, based in Little Rock.
No, Mountain Home.
Mountain Home. Sorry, Mountain Home.
But here's the thing.
Also, right?
And I know that
what we want to do is do the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to be basically be the administrator of that grant, and
the grant's already been approved.
Is what we're told. They got the funding.
So they've got the funding, and we want to be, but what I want to put on your shoulders, I guess, at this point and help with is a helping Frank with all the other stuff that he's got going on. I don't think he has time to keep the little ball rolling on such a project, and I would like to get you involved in that. I know that's not on your list, but if the money's already been appropriated and if we can have any influence in getting our staff to build and furnish the material for that. As a matter of fact, I've already got the material, most of it located right at a close proximity. And we can, with the $390,000, I think is what it is.
Was it a grant or is it an appropriation that's been given for this particular project at KDOT?
You know, I don't know. They mentioned it as a grant. They had a grant writer on location when I was there on scene. I was on the site, and they had a grant writer on location. And he was taking all the measurements and everything, and so they turned it in as a grant. So I don't have all the answers to that. Maybe an update on where that's at and our ability to do the project.
We question say, from what Jim said, are we asking Ron to work with Frank? We want to take Frank off of that. You mentioned he's busy. Clarify the direction we're giving here.
Well, I would guess that he would have to, basically what I'm thinking is Frank doesn't have all the information that he needs probably. And if you want to take Frank off of it and let them work on it in a specialty, this is different than what they have been doing because the money's already available and the grant's already been approved. It's just getting it to us.
And there may be verbiage within that grant that they have to utilize.
That's what I would like to know. Are they going to have do they have to contract it out. They were going to check on their end. But when that, I think, is where you come become involved, is whenever they start requesting on their end of the thing, can we do this or can we do that, if we have a person in the right position or some contact that you might have that says, hey, they've done major projects for the state of Missouri, have been cooperative, have those examples before us. They can do this project to our satisfaction. They just got through doing three access projects that were an example of the kind of work that they want for the area. Those are the kind of things that I would like to have presented to them and help us get that project underway.
With your permission, we'll sit down with Frank and see what information he has, and then
if Frank comes to you and he says, well, yes, they told me that they want me to do that, but I haven't had time to pursue it, then I want them to come back to us and
just basically take the lead and work with Frank, but take the lead and come back and report to us if there's an issue or
right. Okay. That's the way I want to go about it.
Sounds good to me. As long as we know who's leading, I think it's important.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good to talk with you all.
It's a thought that went through my mind is it's interesting to see people interested in what they're doing. And from your conversation, y'all are interested in what you're doing.
Thank you, Chuck. It's appreciated.
You know, it's hard not to keep it short when you're interested, I guess, is what's really...
This Highway 160 plan and the widening of it, as I understand it now, is the number one priority of the Southwest Missouri Regional Transportation Plan, which the state does look at.
Yeah.
And the state, MoDOT, also likes to work in concert with the Fed. So if, in fact, we can keep all those balls in the air and then juggle them properly... We may have a project that
MoDOT's mentioned it to me in conversation, so they're interested.
I talked with the mayor last Saturday night. He told me he chatted with you.
Well, the F Highway intersection has been on the list, and I noticed I got an update this past week, and it's been moved way up the line on just the improvement of the intersection there. Something like from down in the 20s and 30s up to the top 10, I think. I think I know the T Highway project is number 4 in the regional. So that intersection at F Highway, as we've worked on improving safety conditions throughout the county, if that project for 160 is there, they may have that included, or it may be something separate because it's separate with the state other than the federal.
Okay. Anything else?
Not for these. I have another administrative that I'd
do. All right. Thank you, guys.
I believe last week James Strahan came to the commission about concerns about so many keys circulating.
Right.
I believe I also took the action item to talk with Renee about what the cost of switching that out was. I got an email from Renee stating that to change out, I'll just read the email and you guys can go from there. I asked her to give me the approximate cost and kind of break it down. So the cost that she has come up with to change out the keys for both the front doors and offices, because there's a lot of keys circulating for individual offices too, I found out. We've had some interesting things take place in certain offices. So the approximate cost is $1,248.15 to change the cores and get keys for everyone that deserves them or needs them. This is the removing the old cores from each door and inserting a new one. This would ensure that everyone has their own key for their doors. The cores are $31.12 a piece, and the keys are $3.77 each because they're special keys. I would need about 15 new cores, and each office employee would need a key. There's your update. So in order to change out, we can do it one of two ways. We can change out just
the doors to the exterior doors, but I believe there's some keys that have got into some other people's office. I was reminded of a situation where I think the county clerk, someone got into the county clerk's office and made some copies and left some information on the copiers to let them know it was after-hours copies and it wasn't appropriate copies. So I believe that there may be individual offices. That's why I would, if we're going to do it, we need to do the, go ahead and do the office, individual offices or key offices also. Maybe not the VA, but obviously the collector and the assessor and the recorder. You know, the commission probably all needs new keys also if we're going to maybe purchasing. Anyway, I would suggest if we're going to go down that road that we also look at key offices that have data that's that we need to keep secure. So. That's for the A1 doors. Those A1 doors are special, do not duplicate keys. So those are special keys that we have to buy from that one vendor so that the keys are not duplicated. That's where the cost gets. When she's referring to key cost, it's for those special doors, not all doors. Yeah, they're not. It's the specialty doors. And, of course, you know, my concern would be, I don't want everyone turn a key in and we give a key right back. We really need to be more, more strategic in who we give keys to main door entrances. So anyway, there's the report. And if we want to move forward, then we need to move forward. But that's, Renee did her part, and I'm reporting to you what she said.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My comment is the same as it was the other day. If before we go any farther, maybe we need to get Jimmy to school us how he polices getting keys. My concern is we spend $120 or $1,200 or whatever the amount would be, and we're sitting here again in 6 months or a year or two because employees change or somebody's careless of who they let make keys. I think we need to.
Well, I know with the new facility policy. How they do it. It's that those magnetic cards, because that card is, the rights are given within that card. You can access one door, all doors, and that's how he polices individual office doors. And that, I don't know about the front door. I mean, obviously this sheriff's department is separate from the judicial facility, but you know, the long-term solution, if you're everyone, is to put, you know, we have main door entrances and all the doors, just get those magnetic strips like we have the keypads over there.
With the actual keys, though, you do the do not duplicate keys, and then you control the number and don't allow people to order without approval, and you have a list of everybody that has a key
to check
make
out.
Sure
That's
when
right.
they leave employment that you get the key back.
Right.
That needs to be established better than it's established today before we go to changing them, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's all I had.
You got something for us, James?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It was made mention about saving a little money at the courthouse type thing, and I told Renee I thought insulating our ceiling would be an excellent idea, and I want to tell you, Mike, and apologize to the other guy.
Glenn.
Has done an excellent job. They've done my office in a matter of 8 hours. I've had two or three other office holders come in there, and Mike and Glenn said up in above that ceiling, it was like 95 degrees.
So we're losing all the heat through the ceiling.
We're losing all that heat up through these tiles. They've dropped that in there. I don't know what it is today. It'll be interesting to see what the temperature is up there today, but I'm sure it's going to pay for itself in a matter of a year on your utility bills. But as far as I know, my office is the only one that way in
yeah.
this entire courthouse.
Yeah, none of the rooms had. Renee came to me after you'd made the suggestion, and she said, what do you think? I said, well, you have a budget, manage it. And then she found out that there is no insulation above any of the ceilings. We had some upstairs in the commission room, but down here on this floor, there was nothing. I mean,
and even the old windows extend up
above
the ceilings, so you've got open windows year-round that's just adding to the, and all the heat's going right up through. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it's going to do. It appears it's doing better, but I think it'll pay itself back in a year and a half, 2 years, just on heating and cooling in my office.
You remind me of something bringing that up, and that is we've done some energy audit with this grant thing, but we've talked about it for years of having an audit done, in particular Mr. Lidecker's company, and I guess there's a number of companies that would come look at the whole building. And I heard him say Monday, I guess, that the HVAC systems wouldn't be a real quick save. Lights are a quick save. But we can plug along a little bit at a time, you know, just like James has brought up here. All right, it's pretty evident, or it seems smart to me, that we get in there and insulate. I mean, is that the way we want to just do things like that? My question again is, should we not open it up for an audit to the no cost? They go a certain place and look at things, look at utility bills, and as a whole. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I can tell you what I've done to this point. I interviewed some performance engineering contractors back in March of 2009 to see how that performance contracting works. Basically, it's a free audit, but it's with a contractual understanding that any updates, upgrades, or recommendations have to go through that company. That's how they make their money. And I couldn't figure out how to justify the expenses, since we don't have a line item saying that we're going to increase or install or improve expenses. So I'm all for an energy audit. I just don't know how we would justify the expense of it, because I'm concerned of the price. So,
well,
but if we do an energy audit for more of my performance contractor, we can do what the city of Branson did and just put it out for an RFQ. They just finished that.
That's what I'm saying.
And that, I mean, if we want to do it, that's fine.
My thought is, we've talked about it for doing that kind of thing numerous times, but we've never gone there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to tell you that Glenn and Mike did an excellent job. Walked out of, I think it was less than 8 hours that they put my office in. And I'm sure if you had a contractor, it would cost you a whole bunch. I mean, they just came in and did a fantastic job.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things that can be done. I mean, we've discovered recently that there's air ducts that aren't even hooked up. They're just run into the attic.
Yep.
And there's probably the reason some of those attics are so hot is because some of these air ducts that are in these are unhooked and running over empty. And so there's a whole lot of things that our own maintenance crew could investigate if we decided to put them to the task to do that.
If we did the RFQ, P, whatever, the cost is borrowed and it's paid back over a period of time, and there's no additional energy cost. Let me try saying that again. If they find that they can save you money, they get the money to do the improvements, and you pay it back, and the savings covers the cost, right? Am I hearing that right?
That's the theory behind it. The problem is our bills are in this building are $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
Right.
So
we question whether it's like
pay. I mean,
that.
If you cut the expense in half, say it's $2,500.
Yep.
It would take 15 to 20 years to pay back that.
Same kind of thing as the sewer motors. They checked it out, and it takes so long.
I ran preliminary numbers when I was, because I thought an energy audit, but that's why I didn't pursue it. I didn't see it, but if you guys, if we want to do it, that's fine.
I don't want to do it unless it's worthwhile for us, or, you know, it has to be worthwhile for those companies.
I mean, sometimes the electric companies will provide some of those services free as well.
They used to do it all.
Well, they've done an energy audit. They've done some of it. The problem is, you still have to say, okay, what is the cost to rezoning all the HVAC system?
Exactly.
That is a cost that someone else has to pay for. When I talked to Johnson Controls over from who run the judicial facility, their cost, I think I presented that to you guys back in last year, just to look at the HVAC was thousands of dollars. Just to do a energy audit recommendation on just the HVAC. So if we want to send an RFQ, that's fine. We could use Branson's and see what they did and go through the process.
Well, I'm not pushing, and we can think about it. I just when James brought that up, it brought back to my mind. I hadn't been thinking about it before that for a while. But it comes on the table ever so often. And sometime, I don't know how much time we got, I'd like to update how your time went. And I'd like to say I went the report that I went to, Rayanne mentioned to me at a meeting yesterday morning that they're going to talk about the airport issue, paying their pay-for-performance contract thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Branson Council meeting last night. Didn't get done until 11 o'clock. Then they went to executive session, so they had a nice long meeting. Quite a lot of discussion. She mentioned she had talked to you and was going to try to get a hold of you too, Danny. Rayanne did.
She had a death in the family. She may have mentioned that. Kind of threw her week off last week. So.
But any, Rayanne had death?
Death in her family. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was interesting. One of the issues came up. They approved renewing the contract with their lobbyist. There had been conversation about that. When we got time, we ought to visit about that. And, Mike Booth said that he learned a lot and he thought the time was well spent up in New mm-hmm. City. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole team. I mean, they had three or four or five people from the city of Branson mm-hmm. and I guess Hollister. And so we were evidently, Taney County was evidently much represented.
You were
the only one from Taney County.
Well, and I talked to them. They just were happy that a commissioner has shown. They've done this for years and said, you know, no one's ever really done it.
Yep.
I mean, I've got a few minutes. I can kind of give you an update. For the contingent from the Taney County was, there was two meetings. There was a Republican dinner on Monday night, and then there was a breakfast for the Democratic Party. And so we had, I think there were seven people that came to the Republican one.
Yeah.
Which wasn't great. The problem, the reason it was a little disappointing is that we had had confirmation of RSVPs on Monday morning. It looked like we were going to have about 25. We were concerned about the actual facility space. But when it came down to it, I would say it was good discussions, but not very effective use of the finance of the money. And I let Chip know that and some other people just because it was Jay Watson, Ray Weider, Maynard, Senator Goodman. There was another senator, a name escapes me, and another rep was there. But the problem was three-fourths of those people we have a very candid relationship with anyway. But it was good. It was on these initiatives that we had voted on, two or three months ago. We voted to accept the initiatives that the Branson, that the same initiatives, they printed them up. Basically it said meal on all the tables that had meal provided by Branson Area Lakes, legislative partnership, and then on the back side, the flip side, had all the initiatives. And then on the Tuesday morning, we had breakfast with Democrat, and we actually had some visitors that we didn't expect. And so, Katie Steele Danner sat at my table with another representative from Jefferson County, and then the other table had some other representatives and some senators there. And so, basically, the biggest three key points that we talked about a lot was legislation regarding the DOR decision. It was shocking to know that a lot of the representatives in the House and Senate didn't know the repercussions of that Department of Revenue decision on Music City. So educating them on how do we fix this, because Taney County, both the city of Branson in conjunction with the Taney County, we're projecting a $750,000 hit to our bottom line because of that decision. So if you take that over multiple counties, it's a very costly decision, and simple legislation can fix. So that is being looked at from multiple angles. The Department of Tourism is really on that. Katie Danner was there to talk about that because that affects tourism also. And so when it all came down to, they're focusing on getting some wording this week to the legislators and finding who's going to sponsor the bill to get this thing through. What they're trying to do is make it as simple as possible so a bunch of amendments don't get added to it so that we can get something passed so that we don't go all year with no resolution. So that was one thing that was a key thing. The other thing that was brought up that was of concern was the fair tax amendment. It was passed through the House last year, and everyone kind of joked about it, saying it'll never get through the Senate. Well, it looks like it's going to get through the Senate also. It's got a lot of momentum, and would not be surprised if the fair tax amendment version, a version, gets passed in the Senate. The reason it's kind of negative to tourism, possibly, and economic is basically under this bill, the state income tax would go away for all citizens in the state of Missouri. And what it would supplement would be everyone else would start paying taxes on houses and sales tax on other items that we normally don't see. And so that the concern is the unknown. Will that drive people on the bordering cities, such as Kansas City, St. Louis, for us, it would be Branson, Joplin, would it drive you out of state to go buy something because you can buy 8 to 10% cheaper? That is a legitimate concern, but the flip side is business-to-business transactions would be all tax-free. So what they believe that would drive would be a small business operation. So it looks like yesterday I wasn't able to stay, but there was going to be an informative discussion at the Senate on the fair tax amendment, because it looks like it's got enough momentum that it will pass.
But it can hurt retail and tourism.
It could, and what they say is it may hurt it for 6 months, but they think it'll bounce back. But it'll bounce back from the business perspective. It's an unknown. But anyway, that was something that was brought up that looks like it's got momentum in the legislation. There were some other things brought up, such as school attendance. That was something, not school attendance, but school start dates. Right now the statute says 174 days and X amount of hours. And what they're trying to do now is change it to and or. So that gives the school districts the ability to go longer, maybe on a school day, and go and try to make up some of these days that they've lost, versus going into June to finish school up. The reason that's negative and why Branson is interested in this is that a large part of the summer help is high school kids, and if they're in school longer, that puts a hardship on the industry that serves the economic engine in this community. So by changing the and or, that would give the schools the flexibility to add maybe an extra hour at the end of the day to make up 5 days. Because right now, we're now into June if they don't change it or change the legislation otherwise. So that's also a concern that they needed to address. And just if they put and or, that was three. There was actually 15 on the list, but I can stop at three.
Mike Booth said, if I remember right, there was three main things that we need to not promote necessarily. We need to protect ourselves. It's kind of what he was saying, and that may be the same three that you're talking about. But he was very strong that we need our lobbyists. He was talking about their lobbyists, and he listened to him and followed him around, so to speak. We just need to keep our ears open and try to help anyway and listen.
So from Branson area, so you had on Monday night, Rick Ziegenfelder, Dean Krutoff, Mike Booth, Sandra Williams, Gail Meyer, Cy Murray, Dennis Wood went up there. Of course, I was there. Trying to think of Chip Mason was there.
Ross.
Ross was not there. There was a situation family there. Ross was scheduled, so was Ryan, and they both had to back out last minute. I think there was two other people. Rick Ziegenfuss was there. On the next day, Rob Dixon drove up for the breakfast, and then all the same people were there.
All right. I backed out for being a tightwad and just lots of things to do here. What's your thought? Should we all be there? I don't think so. As long as we got representative,
they asked me my opinion. I said, I hope you guys don't do this anymore like this. Reason is this. If you're a lobbyist, if you're a legislator, you're bugged Monday through Thursday to get to all these events. And for us to have a formal sit-down, If you knew you were going to be late for a formal sit-down, would you even show? The answer is no. You'd come to a buffet or an hors d'oeuvres, drop in, because we had this like the Monday night, we had four people, four of those seven people I mentioned did not stay for meal. They came in, had a drink, and left. And so it would be more effective to do this every other week and just do hors d'oeuvres versus a sit-down formal breakfast and a formal dinner. I think that's why so many people RSVP and didn't show.
You reminded me of something as you're answering, because I remember going up a year or two ago, remember sitting in the room and waiting on the people to get there, and I had my suit and tie on. Maybe that's why I remember it so much. But it was just what you explained. It was very little attended, and the ones that attended that you could visit with were folks that you knew.
You visited with anyway.
Every other month or whatever anyway.
What?
So I'm just curious how you saw it. I'm glad to hear what you said.
I told Cy, I said, you spent $400 for breakfast. Yeah. I'd rather drive mileage and drive up every other week and have a car go up and pay mileage, go up and go back the same day. It'd be more effective to walk the halls than it would.
Yeah.
And James, early on, when I joined the Mac board, James took me around to people he knew. I think that was as effective.
More effective.
I mean, we went to Dan Clemens' office and some other senators' office. Walk in the hall. Yeah, the walk in the halls is more important. I think it's more valuable than anything. So,
Humor me just a little bit more. What about making appointments? Pick a day and make appointments with the folks and where that you know you're going to get to sit down with them for 15 minutes. And
they might. The challenge that I think you're going to have is they're always bombarded with that. What I do when I'm there is I go visit before 10 o'clock when session starts.
Right.
So I went, like, after the breakfast was over at 8 o'clock yesterday, I walked the halls from 10, from 8, about 8:15 to 10 o'clock. Because I got to sit in with other senators and just say hi and talk about issues and be polite. And, you know, Chip Mason's taught me a lot. He said, you know, Jim, make sure you go in there, make sure your points are, but then also say, what can I do to help you? Because a lot of times, word of mouth of just saying, what message you want me to bring back? So anyway, meetings are good, but I also think that just knowing the times to walk the halls from 8 to 10 is a great time to be there.
Right.
As long as a lot of them are there, I've gone up with several groups on different issues, and if they're there, you're going to get to see a bunch of them. It's going to be worthwhile because, I mean, you may get to see and talk with anywhere from 5 to 15 or 20 senators or reps. So,
the most effective I've seen to date has been the lunches in the Rotunda. I think, I don't know if you were there, did Mac Board do that when we were there? But we just had buffet. And we had more people come by and you got a 2-minute blurb with them.
Yep.
That was more effective use of the money than I think what we did, but you know, maybe you have to do both. Who knows? Yeah, that's my report.
Good, I appreciate that.
I've still got the CID stuff.
Hey, it's 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You've got it done?
Yeah, we need to sign it if that's what you want to do. The petition that's going to be filed has to do with basically the operating rules of the district as they're going to amend them so that they can do the fees that they want to do.
And
they can't file that until this ordinance has been approved. So
I move that we accept the ordinance as presented by adding that property and removing the other property. So that's my motion.
Accept and approve. Okay.
I'll second the motion. And the one thing that sticks in my mind is the property issue where they're committing to not take property to get it exempt. You got that? Is it in there?
The petition that they are filing once this is filed has in paragraph M on page A3, and of course they haven't filed it yet, but this is the copy that they've given me, is that the district shall not own property within the boundaries of the district except as necessary for the construction or operation of public improvements that are funded by the district. Petitioners do not seek any other limitations on the powers of the district. So they're saying, you know, if they put in a sewer line or a water line, they're going to have to own the,
And just, I asked Bob this question on the phone this morning driving in, which was, Hollister School Board is in favor of this.
I asked them when they were here the other day, is the Hollister School District in favor of this, and they stated yes.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see why they wouldn't be. This is a you heard them say that it was a finance. There were financing reasons for this. This is so that they can put in the improvements at a lower financing cost. And once the improvements are in, they can develop the land. When the land is developed, it's worth more. Even if it's not developed, if the improvements are put in, the land is worth more. And they stated that the actual total assessed value, and I hesitate to refer to it, but in paragraph F, because they haven't actually filed this, it's a copy they sent to me, the total assessed value of all real property in the district as amended. So if you approve this, the district will have approximately $1,459,700 in assessed value. Well, I would anticipate if they start building houses and other things, the assessed value is going to go up, right, not down. And if it goes up and they don't own the property other than the infrastructure improvements,
they'll be paying taxes and supporting the school system.
The same levy will bring more money for the Hollister School District.
I just was reminded Sheila had emailed me some question she had with the collection, her collection, and I'm not sure. I was trying to read it here real quick.
To spell it out, we should put that in this petition that will be filed once this is done. But they committed to doing the things that we wanted done. I don't see the collection issues dealt with in the petition, but this is just a draft. They haven't filed one yet. We can say put this in there if we want something put in.
That's the reason that I called her forward yesterday. There's a treasurer that deals directly with her from the district that doesn't deal with, I mean, each individual person in the district. There's a treasurer for the district that, the way I understood her conversation yesterday and his reply.
Well, they had suggested and said that they're going to hire a consultant that will help with assessor or collector issues.
Right.
Because there have been some assessor issues regarding the assessments of the property. And as far as the collection goes, it's a much easier process than the Branson Hills process in that they, at least to the largest extent, most of the cases, they actually collect at the time the developer pulls the permit. They collect the assessment against that property. And it's not due every year. It's due at the time the assessment is pulled. And generally, it's a one-time fund. I think they can probably do some other things, but that's how they're operating. That it's a one-time fee that's paid by the per acre or per lot. The developer pays it, and when it comes in, they then turn it over to the collector, and the collector is going to be able to charge a fee. But we need to clarify that in this upcoming petition. But they can't file the upcoming petition until you've approved that the area go out and the new area come in. I think it's a no-brainer to let the area out. I think everybody that was here from the area said they were all in favor of getting out. As far as the new territory, that's a decision that you need to make, whether you want to allow them to utilize the CID to finance additional acreage and foster additional growth.
Say it again for me. So there is yet opportunity to cover the collectors having to collect the fees. That'll be clarified later?
Correct. This,
okay.
This so petition that was sent to me.
I'm pretty sure that if she collects, there will be a 1% collection fee. Whatever fees she collects from, you know, whatever fees she keeps of that she collects from every other entity she keeps. And this entity also. When I visited with the other day, I'm not sure that this particular CID.
This is the question that she's emailed us. They seem to have said one thing in the meeting, but then after the meeting, the attorney is saying, no, that's not the way it's going to be. So I can see why she would be uncomfortable about it.
I got the same thing.
Well,
I think there's one question you gentlemen need to pose, is how you can put a 15-year-old bridge in a new and current city.
Put what, James? Come on up so everybody can hear you.
When I first took office, that was a major issue. I could not find who was responsible for the bridge and who was to pay taxes on the bridge, because it was a bridge at that point to nowhere, to the new development.
Right.
I taxed that bridge. The previous BOE took that bridge off, said, because it served the public. I said, well, once they open their golf course and the public gets to use it, that's a possibility. So we took that bridge off as a capital improvement to the developer. Now, I'm positive that that map takes in that same bridge here 14 years later to be paid for by the new CID, when it actually served this group of people that's coming out and the golf and the two commercial businesses that's in there now and the airport.
It's not being taxed now. And if it goes into the CID, it will not be taxed then.
But it will be figured in the assessments that these people are paying.
But what you're saying is that the assessments may go to pay off what was already spent on the bridge.
That's correct.
And I don't know that, but what difference does that make to the value of the property, or I mean, what difference does it make to the county?
My question being, can you go back and take a property 14 and 15 year old and put it in a current established CID?
Well, that would be a problem for the CID. I mean, obviously their attorneys are going to decide whether they can do that legally or not do it legally. But as far as the county is concerned, in approving a CID, I mean, is the additional territory going to add to the assessment rolls, or is it going to take away from the assessment rolls? Is it going to foster growth? Is it going to harm the taxing districts?
Well, that's an easy answer. Yes, it will harm the taxing districts.
I don't see how.
Have you ever tried to pass a levy where you had to double your taxes on assessments? Have you ever, as the school, asked these people, say, now I need a levy increase?
I think some of these people were willing to stay in the district if they thought it would hurt them by being out of the district.
Sure,
and I don't know the answer to that question that you just asked.
I'm all for pulling the people out, but that's just questions I had. And as far as making the statements of no harm on taxing districts, yes, the Hollister School will be affected in trying to increase a levy on someone that's taking on this kind of tax, a burden tied to their tax bill.
But if they take on another $1 million in assessed value, they'll bring in a lot of extra money without ever raising their levies.
That's true.
I've got some questions about that was presented to us by Mr. Mahoney whenever he first came to us, and we had a private discussion about some of these things also. Where do we see the agreement with Hollister on the school location? And
agreement on the school location.
Right. Is that any business of the counties that they have negotiated a deal inside this CID area for a new high school?
I don't see how it would be an issue for the county. I mean, what you're doing, what you've already done in 2002, is create a community improvement district, which is another political subdivision, just as the sewer district is, just as the city of Branson is, just as you did with Kirbyville or Bradleyville.
And I understand all that, but what I'm saying to you is there is sewer improvements to be made. They have so much sewer to be bought that is involved with the Taney County Sewer District, who has capacity bought in the Hollister District.
They own a lot of the percentage of the treatment in the
Hollister plant.
The Hollister plant, yeah.
Yes,
I was going to try to name the specific name, but
they don't
remember.
Own anything close to what the number of acreage, if developed, would handle. Those are questions that I would have. They don't own capacity enough for.
They own a huge percentage, actually.
I haven't seen their plan. I mean, I couldn't answer that, Danny. I mean, they may do estate lots. I have no idea how they're going to lay out the property. I mean, obviously, they're going to buy capacity as necessary and as needed. But I also know they have a large purchase of unused capacity they've already purchased.
They have a huge percentage that's unused of that plant, of the treatment plant. And, yeah, if they develop every acre that they have out there, they could probably use up two or three plants like right. there are down in Hollister. But, I mean, obviously, when you use up all of your capacity, you can't send any more down. You can't develop any further until you find out some other way of disposing of your sewage. So they'd have to maybe enter into an agreement to pay for an upgrade of the facility or maybe even pay to have a new facility. They can only use the capacity that they've purchased.
I understand that. I'm talking about the negotiations with Hollister. When we were asking questions how this is going to affect Hollister School District, and they said, we have been in negotiations to build a new high school on this property. This is the other, whenever they made the first presentation to us. And how it came in, this discussion after that was the east-west corridor, how it would affect them from the BB side. And he mentioned
if they give a bunch of ground to the Hollister School District to build a new high school, and they pump some money into the building of the new Hollister High School, and Hollister School Board likes that idea and it's good for the Hollister School District, then they'll probably do it, and it may be a good thing for the Hollister School District, but that's their decision to make. And
right, I don't. I don't know. What I'm trying to get across to you is when you make those statements and those decisions when it comes to the SID, I'm trying to look how this affects Taney County as a whole. And whenever they say something like we're going to donate so much land for a new Hollister school in a certain location, and there's open discussion about it, and then whenever they decide that there's open discussion about the east-west corridor, OTC, all those things that would affect their SID area, then those need to be, I mean, you can say, I can say that I'm going out here and build the Taj Mahal or a chateau on the lake on a ridge out here somewhere, but unless it's done, I just want to make sure that how does this affect Taney County if the assessments go up and it's good for Hollister School, well, so be it.
We don't have a real good, we have a demographic study that's called a master plan, but we don't have a master plan for the county as to how we'd like to see it develop and what we'd like to see go where. So we're kind of at the mercy of developers and entities to do the developments as they picture them and what they have the financing to do. And they're proposing a development out there, and I believe they do have to go through planning and zoning because they're in an unincorporated area of the county. So they have to comply with planning and zoning in order to do their development, and they're doing a development project out there. And they're paying for the infrastructure improvements by forming a community improvement district. That's...
Well, you gentlemen, and I hate to say this way because it's not real nice, but have we got this short of memories on what a SID does to the value of property? You three gentlemen sat on the Board of Equalization, heard testimony after testimony that they paid $100,000 for their lot in the SID, but they thought it was a detriment now and it should be lowered, and actually this Board of Equalization did lower their properties because these people were paying this. And that's what I don't understand when we're talking about how this is going to increase assessed evaluations when you're going to be faced with a major decision this summer on the rest of Branson Hills and see if they can prove that this SID is making their property, instead of being worth the $100,000, should be valued by the assessor's office at $60,000. So the Branson Schools is going to take testimony real quick on what this Branson Hills SID has done for them in creation of.
And James, I don't.
I remember these arguments.
I don't see how it would affect the value at all. You had Branson Hills, which, if they do it differently, they have an extra levy on the property. But they were arguing that their property wasn't really worth what they paid for it. They could make that argument out in the Branson Creek area. They could say, "I paid $100,000 for my piece of property, but it was only worth $90,000 because $10,000 of it was the assessment." Well, that $10,000 that was the assessment, if all it would sell for is $90,000, that's all it's worth anyway. If it'll sell for $100,000, that's what it's worth. It really doesn't affect the value, that $10,000 that they paid for it. What they paid for it would not be an accurate measure of what it would bring if they paid an extra $10,000 because of the infrastructure. It's only what it would bring on the open market, and that is what the assessor is supposed to determine, what it would bring on the open market and not necessarily the sales price. It just makes it a little more difficult to measure what it's worth. And would the development occur absent the infrastructure being put in with the CID? If it wouldn't, then you wouldn't get that increased assessed value.
That's just a little bit confusing to me because it seemed to be an area of argument this summer. And in fact, like I say, everyone that stepped up to that mic that was in that SID told you guys the same story.
They said they paid too much for the property.
Yeah, and it seemed to be effective.
They said they paid too much for the property, and you have to make a determination what that property would bring at the present time, and you have to do that anywhere. If somebody overpays for their property and it's only worth $100,000 and they paid $200,000 for it, it's still only worth $100,000. It's just how you measure it. Sales prices is one way of determining what it would bring on the open market. It's pretty much the best way of determining what it would bring on the open market. But when you've got several properties in the area selling for $100,000 and somebody paid $200,000 for it, it's probably only worth $100,000 despite the fact they paid $200 for
it. That wasn't four instances, Simon.
Guys,
I'm going to have to call
the vote because I got 11:30.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. I guess we're done.
I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else on the agenda?
Nope. Very well.
Oh, don't turn off yet. I do have one more thing. Can I
go
real fast? Part of the wellness center, we talked about dual purpose, it being a tornado shelter and a FEMA-approved tornado shelter. In order for that to happen, we have to have a structural engineer look at the facility and do calculations, because one of the factors of a tornado shelter is the structure above it has to be able to, if collapsed, the structure below has to be able to suspend and provide a safe environment. Now, in talking to Spencer at the MAC conference we had at Tanterra back in November, he was going to talk to some structural engineers and take some looks and at no charge. He thinks it may qualify because it's the same design as the parking garage. However, the only way, the next step is to hire a structural engineer to go have them analyze the plans, because there was plans to it, and make a determination. I don't have a cost, but I want to know what is the next step the commission wants to do with that.
The first thought comes as you're talking is, I believe Hood Rich did the parking garage, and I assume maybe they engineered the other one. Should we touch base with them first to see if most of the information we need is already in their hands?
I know some of it is because we talked about building the jail site.
I feel like we need to pursue it.
Well, I think we hire a structural engineer and give them direction because I'm not qualified to say it's there or not there. I mean, basically,
Hood Rich is the engineer that did it. Perhaps they can give you the specs and say it meets the specs for whatever. Whatever the specs are for a tornado shelter,
sure.
What you did here, does that meet these specs?
So that's what I'm saying.
Are you going to take that then? Because
I'll be glad to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just Spencer has whatever you want, however you want to do it. But I just told Spencer I would present that to you guys and go from there.
It's going to be a big deal on the cost. I mean, obviously.
Well, it's either it does or doesn't because we can't redesign that room.
We entered into this conversation when we started talking about the judicial facility. And the judicial facility, you could not add another floor,
right?
Because of the weight,
the structure. Uh-huh.
And so I'm thinking that probably if it won't hold another floor, then it won't hold the floor below it.
Right, I understand. You walk out. I'm not leaving the building. I just have an appointment I gave. So
someone wanted to leave the meeting, so I said I'd give them 10 minutes.
I didn't get it dated. She can do
recess.
That. She can date it.
Recess.